From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Wojtyn.
How we starting off Fresh Fridays, huh, Brother Nick?
We want to start happy. Let's go, yeah.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. It is the G and Ursula Show. Happy Fresh Fridays. It's going to be beautiful, as my good friend Ursula would say. It's going to be a Chamber of Commerce, hey, type picture moment. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning. And I do hope that y'all get a chance to enjoy the sunshine today. It's not going to last that long this time around, but it is beautiful, for sure. Okay, coming up at 9:30, should protesters who stop traffic be charged with false imprisonment and forced to pay for damages? We're going to tell you about a district attorney on the West Coast who is pushing that idea, and we want you to weigh in on that. Our Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line, 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO.
Can you tell the people what we're going to be talking about, too, at 9:47?
Oh, yeah. Allie and Tacoma already asking about the new Taylor albums. There's more than one.
Yeah. She dropped one at 9, and he thought it was cool because I was in my feelings. I was listening to it. I'm like, oh, go tweet. Go Tay Tay.
You right
go Tay Tay. And then she dropped another one at 11.
And she did this while she was doing the... Well, she's still doing the Eras tour. I don't know how this woman does it.
But I got a declaration I'm going to make at 9:47.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's going to get Taylor haters upset.
If you're a Taylor hater, you're a hater in real life. You're just a hater. All right. Here we go. Top stories of the day brought to you by Wayscarf 40 Susu in Auburn.
Hey, we're going to start off. We're going to bring down your mood right now because this is a very disturbing story. A Pierce County elementary school teacher is jailed this morning, accused of molesting multiple students. The 34-year-old has been a teacher at Evergreen Elementary School in the Key Peninsula District. The victim's attorney, Kevin Hastings, tells Fox 13 the teacher would take a special interest in certain students.
Mr. Henderson would have small groups of girls in his classroom during lunchtime, that he would be eating lunch with them. Well, that's superficially might not be that concerning to someone, but you know, if you actually know about grooming and targeting techniques, that's absolutely one of them.
Now, the attorney believes this teacher likely abused many other young students over the years. The teacher has now been on leave for several months, and obviously a disturbing story, but I wanted to expand our conversation into how you talk to your kids about staying safe. What advice do you give to your children about what to do if someone tries to cause them harm? And our kids are adults now, but we had those conversations.
We did. I don't think that I had the conversations enough. And what do I compare them to? I compare them to my mom. Now, when I was younger, Ursula, my mom was ridiculous about it. Like, overly, like, too much.
Very protective.
Always, like, would see someone, and she'd do this, if they're a family friend. You know, again, my mom's 81, so I want you guys to date. This is how folks used to talk back then. If she would see a guy that's good-looking and not married, no kids, she'd judge. Like she, and I think a lot of times she would have these opinions and always be talking about this because of her line of work and what she did for so many years.
As a probation officer
for years and years. And I think those stories, I don't think we as a parent and adult talk to our kids enough. And when we do talk to our kids about them, we talk about it from an angle of someone you don't know. And usually it is someone you know, so much so, probably someone that is really a trusted person that's in a trusted role. So it's a very scary thing. How about you, Ursula?
So I have actually shared some of the stories on air of how many times I either was nearly a victim, or in one case, there was someone who, only as an adult did I admit that, yes, someone who was in a position of authority. I used to take horseback riding lessons in the Philippines, and he was the person who would assign the horses to the students, and he would molest students. Yeah. And I was very open with my kids. I mean, I was almost kidnapped at one point. I mean, it was one of those things where after a while I was like, what am I doing to send messages to people? It's like I started blaming myself. Like, what am I doing to cause people to want to, you know, do whatever it was? And so I was very open at a very young age with our boys. And I would tell them, don't assume because you're a boy that you wouldn't potentially be a victim or that someone would target you. I probably didn't have that conversation enough about it could be people within your own family. It could be people, you know, like a teacher. But I think it's just when you hear of a story like this, it is a reminder that you need to have those conversations so that your kids are informed and not that they become untrusting, but that they don't become so gullible. And maybe that's what it was for me, is that I was always giving people the benefit of the doubt, starting at a very young age. But I know as we were going through the story, Chef, you have young kids right now, and you said, and you got really upset about
certain aspect of this.
Certain aspects.
Yeah. I mean, we've had the conversation with Matthew, you know, and Alice too, about, hey, who's allowed to touch you in certain places, but we haven't gone really beyond that. I'm kind of stuck there. But this whole situation makes me feel really sad because, you know, the attorney is talking about how this teacher would have small groups of kids in their classroom for lunch, right? And how that's a sign of grooming behavior. And like, I remember back when I was growing up, my sixth grade teacher, she would every month take out the student of the month for lunch at a Chinese restaurant that was close to the school. And that was a really special thing. It's something that I got to do. And the fact that teachers cannot put themselves in a one-on-one situation or even a one-on-two or three situation, as this attorney discussed, it is sad. I was playing yesterday with Matthew and his friend and a bunch of the after-school kids at his school. So they have an after-school program there. And, you know, the teacher walks over who's in charge and she's like checking me out, talking to me about, hey, who are you? Who do you know here? Which I completely understand. But it is just so sad that people have to be so, so careful these days to not be perceived as a groomer, because we all have that little question mark, right? When we see someone who's in a certain interaction, especially men with children, and you just say, what's that about? And so I have this constant thing in my head while I coach or while I'm around kids, which is like, never do anything. Anything that could possibly be construed as suspicious. And I think that prevents, you know, some real relationships between kids and adults from taking place.
Crazy thing is when they do get caught and finally get caught, that just means most of the time they've gotten away with it for a long time.
Yeah.
Most of the time. So,
yeah.
Sad story.
Sad. Yeah. Kai texted in and said, I have a question. Would you be as upset if it were a female teacher? I know it's both bad, but would you be as upset or feel different? Just curious. And my answer, I know that sentiment has maybe evolved but not on my part, but I think that there's some of this, hot teacher idea. No. Grooming and molestation, whether it's by a man or a woman, equally bad. And I would have an equal reaction. I don't know if you guys want to weigh in on that.
No, I mean, it's both bad.
A brothel woman is now suing three Motel 6s in South King County, accusing them of allowing her and others to be sex trafficked on their premises.
Our survivor, our client, continued to suffer because of it and continued to be trafficked because of their greed and them wanting to make a profit off of it.
Katie Lamas is the plaintiff's attorney. She tells Cairo 7 TV that traffickers rented rooms to imprison her client and sell her for sex between 2015 to 2023.
These hotels and motels know what's going on. They know that they're being trafficked. They know this isn't consensual prostitution, and they're allowing it to go on.
So the company that owns Motel 6 has now issued a statement saying there's nothing more important to us than the safety and well-being of our guests, our team members, and the communities in which we operate. We condemn all forms of human trafficking and have a zero-tolerance policy against it. Trafficking of people violates basic human rights and is a global societal problem.
Disagree with this lawsuit. I disagree with it for a few reasons, but the number one reason why this lawsuit is happening is because they need to go and sue where the money is. Now, as for personal experience, as you guys know, when I first moved here, I told you the story. I lived in a hotel right there off of Federal Way, off of 348th, right there by the Denny's. That hotel right now, as you can see, it is now gated up. It is closed down. In San Diego, I lived in a hotel. The reason why I'm bringing this up, because even these hotels that are inexpensive to live at, even these hotels that I'm quite sure that there's, you know, people either A, living in them like I did and others, or B, of course, there's good. I mean, things happen in rooms. What I'm trying to tell you is that when you go to these hotels, it's not always like a roar in the streets. It might be you. I mean, you might see someone that looks like, oh, they could be that could be their profession. Or you could be wrong. It might not be their profession, because sometimes the look of, oh, they look like a, right? Or that guy looks like a pimp, right? He might look like a pimp, but he's not a pimp, right? You don't know these things. So I don't believe a hotel is on the hook for these things. It's not blatant. It's not out there. You're not selling it right there. You don't have a sign that says, hey, I got a room right here at the Motel 6. Come on in. And the owner's like, yeah, go ahead. Have fun. I disagree with this lawsuit.
See, I'm not so quick to disagree with a lawsuit. I don't think that the company that owns Motel 6 is totally liable, but I think that there is some responsibility if you know what is going on in your premises. Just like if you know that someone is drinking alcohol and drinking to the point of no return and then gets behind a car and causes damage, that establishment can be held liable. In the case of Motel 6, I'm sorry, but this statement that says there's nothing more important to us than the safety and well-being of our guests and our team members, yet there's a lot that maybe people assume or also kind of wink, wink, no. There was a radio station, WNUT, that did a parody about this. Okay, if you have kids in the car, I would suggest maybe turning down the radio for a bit, but here's the parody.
We may not have a well-stocked mini bar or those little complimentary bottles of water on the dresser for you. Hell, the in-room refrigerator might not even work, depending on what decade we put that bad boy in. But we will leave some skin mags in the bedside table for you. And there's even some channels on the TV you can pay for by the hour, if you know what I'm saying. And there's some tissues by the sink, should you make a mess. Hey, we don't ask, and you damn sure don't have to tell. Anyway, I'm Tom Baudette from Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you.
Oof.
Prostitution and all this stuff happens. It doesn't just happen at Motel 6s. It happens at different hotels, the nice hotels, you know what I mean? As a matter of fact, some of the, like, you know, the high-end hotels that happen, whether it's in Bellevue or whatever nice places, I just don't believe. Again, I have experience living in hotels. I've seen this. It's not out in the open like that, and it's not like hotel. As a matter of fact, the hotel owners are going to make sure you're not doing anything to try to mess them up and get them shut down.
Now, gee, I don't think, like, you know, hotel managers are mandatory reporters or anything like that. But if your staff at all three hotels is on a first name basis with an alleged pimp who is bringing multiple women in and out of rooms, they know exactly what's going on. Well, and the hotels absolutely know that prostitution is a part of their business model in places like this. So is a hotel like Facebook? Is a hotel responsible for what happens in their hotel the same way that Facebook is responsible for child pornography on their site?
I was on first name basis with them. They didn't know what I did. I was on first name basis with the people at the hotel.
But if you were being held against your will and you were being sold and they knew that that was potentially going on, would you want them to...
Hold on.
Just because it didn't happen to you doesn't mean that it's not an issue.
When you say held against your will, so you mean to tell me...
Yes, in some cases there are people...
I'm not saying that, but specifically there's not a case in this specific case where the person was literally... Because you say held against your will, you're not... There's not a case in which they're saying that they were like tied up or help me. We don't know what that situation is. We're just going on and saying the MK person who's in this lawsuit is saying, hey, they were buddy. They knew his name. So that means they had to know what they were doing. I'm just trying to discredit the point. Just because they know your name doesn't mean they know what you're doing. I mean, we can argue that's true.
So you know what? We'll see in court what ends up happening.
We can argue until we blew it in the face. I'm telling you, I lived in hotels. They knew my name. They didn't know what I did.
Okay. Does that prove this particular case? I would say not.
No, but of the three of us, I have the anecdotal evidence to say that I lived in hotels.
In this particular case. Okay. Seattle is going to have a carjacking task force now. The Department of Justice has picked Seattle as one of seven cities nationwide to form one as part of an effort to reduce violent crime. That task force is going to be headed up by U.S. Attorney for Western Washington, Tessa Gorman.
We're going to look at every single carjacking case in these jurisdictions to decide which jurisdiction is most appropriate to charge, intervene, and disrupt this conduct.
This task force is going to bring together the FBI, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, Seattle Police, and the Kent Police Department. Of course, in the past year, we have seen a huge spike in carjackings around the region, including one in Seattle involving 12 and 13-year-old brothers. Gorman tells King 5 News, adults who use kids to commit carjackings could face serious federal penalties.
I'm not trying to be funny here, and I'm being very serious. I'm not trying to be funny. I just don't know how you do this. I don't know how you go and profile and try to see who's going to be committing the next carjacking, right? How do you figure out, how do you put a task force together? You put the task force together, you get together, and I don't know, what are you going to say and do to be like, okay, in this area, this is where a lot of carjackings are happening. We already don't have hardly that much law enforcement in the first place. What are you going to be doing special to figure this out?
So my initial reaction was like, oh, my God, do we need another blue ribbon committee to waste time with months to meet and posture only to come up with a set of watered down recommendations that never get past the PowerPoint presentation? I mean, that was my first reaction. But I actually did look into this. And apparently the DOJ did develop similar task forces in Chicago, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, and Tampa. And reportedly, they were successful in bringing down carjacking rates. So the FBI also, they say that these task forces are something that actually have been proven to be highly effective for different law enforcement agencies to work together. So I'm willing to keep an open mind, but my initial reaction is, oh my God, another task force.
The basic thrust, though, is federal charges. So if you're worried about people getting a slap on the wrist in our local criminal justice system, federal charges, that's a little bit of a different story for certain cases.
That's a very interesting topic to me. How are they going to do that? But hey, look, there's a need. We've had way too many carjackings. So if it's going to work, great. Coming up at 9:47, we need to talk. I'm going to be talking about Taylor Swift. And coming up at 9:30, San Francisco's DA is recommending something for those that were on a Golden Gate Bridge. I don't know. I think I'm kind of agreeing with it. We'll talk about that next. Jen Ursula.
is no stranger to protests, and this next story might be of interest to you because San Francisco's district attorney is now weighing felony charges for the 26 protesters who shut down traffic on the Golden Gate Bridge for over 4 hours.
San Francisco, as well as myself as the district attorney, support free speech. We support those who want to make sure that their First Amendment rights are observed and that their point of views are heard. But where we must draw the line is when acts of free speech endanger public safety.
So that is District Attorney Brooke Jenkins, and she put out a call to those who were impacted by the bridge shutdown. She says, you know what, if you were there, we want to hear from you because you might be eligible for compensation.
This is an active and open investigation. Anyone who was falsely imprisoned on the Golden Gate Bridge on April 15th, 2024, is urged to contact the California Highway Patrol.
So she is considering charging protesters with false imprisonment, conspiracy, and would force them to pay restitution to those drivers who were stuck on the bridge. So I put out the call to our listeners. Would you be supportive of that? We have a few who weighed in because I know that there are a lot of people who are very frustrated. So there were 46 people who were recently arrested for blocking traffic. They were on the freeway or the highway leading into SeaTac Airport. As of right now, police have not referred felony charges for any of them. And I don't know that they are because typically these are misdemeanor charges. Your thoughts on the DA in San Francisco?
I'm not mad. I kind of feel it and understand. And so this topic right here, can we move to another way? Can we start? No, I'm asking
so
y'all.
Who, when you say can we,
protesters? Yeah, just can we move to another way of like you know what I'm saying? Like we've been doing things a certain way for a while. Maybe I'm not thinking about this enough, but I think that I am because my opinion, I'm so mad about that SCA. I'm really mad about the other day.
And it was because they were not just blocking traffic, but blocking traffic for people to get to the airport.
Because I know when you're going to the airport, right? You've been to the airport. When you're going to the airport, you've paid for a ticket. You're going somewhere, and you're going somewhere with purpose for a reason. Whether it's for work, whether it's to see family, there's all types of things that happen. Imagine this. And I don't know this, but imagine someone getting ready to fly out of SCA and they're getting ready to go see a loved one that, right, like they got to hurry up and get there. And they missed that moment because of that. I just think that when they did that on SCA, that got me.
The thing that makes me kind of chuckle is that was where it drew the line for you where, I mean, if you block a freeway, if you block I-5, I mean, you could be stopping someone from getting the hospital to give birth.
But real quick, though, hold on. When that happened on I-5, I talked about that. I said I had just missed that, and I had some work stuff to do. I said if I would have gotten caught, I would have been mad. I said that. But the SCA thing messed me up. So anyway, what do I think about this? How about half of that? How about half?
For
an example,
make someone pay restitution, but you're not going to be charged with imprisonment.
If I go miss an event, I didn't get to an event that I was getting ready to go make some money. I was flying to New Orleans to do an event. I missed that event. I missed out on that money. I want my money.
Yeah, I think she's doing this to make a statement. I think she's not really planning on this. I think it's just there's an exasperation level with protests and the tactics that protesters are using anymore, which I get in years past and in history. I mean, the point was nonviolent protests, but to have an impact, make a point, that is a way to you know, exercise your free speech.
Careful what you wish for, though. Be careful what you wish for, because like on its face, looking at this, I can't really make a case against it. At the same time,
overreach.
at the same time, you do have freedom of assembly, freedom of speech in this country, right? Also, intent, false imprisonment means that you are intentionally trying to hold someone against their will. These people are trying to get a message across, right? There's proportionality of response when it comes to this, but most importantly, I think it's precedent. Because what happens if, let's say, another George Floyd situation happens, and there's a bunch of red states who say, you know what, we are not issuing permits for any of these protests. And in fact, if anyone takes to the streets and if they impede anyone, we're going to charge them with false imprisonment. We're going to put felonies on them and we're going to charge them for the cost of any lost business that happened in that area. And this is not a far-fetched example. The Supreme Court just upheld a case in which a protest organizer was charged with crimes because people who attended a protest committed those crimes. And the Supreme Court upheld that decision, which effectively is going to shut down protests in those three states. Because if you, as the protest organizer, are responsible for what anyone does who's at that protest, I ain't organizing crap. You know, so be careful what you wish for with situations like this.
Yeah. She's
getting what she wants, which is, she's making headlines.
You know what it should have been? You know what should have happened today? We should have brought this topic up, and I should have said, there is no way. This is ridiculous. I can't believe it. But the fact that I am actually listening to this, the fact that I'm actually saying to myself, self, do you agree? Absolutely agree. And you guys are hearing me hold back. That if you really want me to keep it a buck, I agree with this. For real. Now, am I changing? Probably. Probably so. But you know what? I don't see y'all out here protesting, hitting the streets for child poverty.
What if you saw a police officer shoot someone unarmed in the head? You know, completely egregious situation. No charges filed. People are protesting for that. They do the same thing. You say felony charges, false imprisonment. Is it the fact that it's a protest you don't have a connection to?
I'm just not into protests that block freeways, for any reason. I think that there's just any more, whatever the case is. I don't know that I would support that.
Sure.
But I get it. I think that is a good point as well. It's like, are there certain levels of, okay, how egregious is something, and would you be more willing to accept that?
I just want to know, what's the percentage of people that got jobs out there doing it? I don't know. I probably shouldn't talk about this topic no more, because if I say what I really think, I'd probably get myself in trouble. I'm starting to change a little bit, and people are starting to really upset me in this world. Because there's a lot of, sometimes I just feel like some people are just being performative, and they just feel like, oh, I care so much. And just, I don't know.
And yeah.
Now, I'm just going to get off this topic.
And make it a sport to,
you know what I'm saying,
block try. I do.
Like, so, and it's something we got a problem in this country where people just want to be jerks to other people, period. You got that too. I'm not saying that all people are jerks in that situation, but we have a lot of people that just really don't care about others and want to make stuff. Well, my life's miserable, so I'm going to make yours miserable. And the old idea of misery loves company. I want to talk about something good, though. I want to talk about my good feeling of good old Taylor Swift next. Jen Ursula. Taylor Swift dropped yesterday, and Ursula, let me set the scene for you. So yesterday, I was the MC and host for the United Way of King County's their event that they had last night, Fremont Studios. Always beautiful to be up there. Well, during my breaks, you know me, get on the phone,
sure,
check out Twitter. Well, on Twitter, on X, that is, it wasn't very fun last night. And I don't know if some of the news, you know, it was on MSNBC, CNN, all over, what was going on with Israel and the retaliate.
Yeah.
So that was just, so that's where I was. So I'm between breaks, I'm just going on that. I'm like, oh, I'm just getting in a bad mood, but I can't stop because, like, Israel responding, what could this mean, right? And so I was getting ready to leave. It's like 9 o'clock. I was on Twitter, and people, I saw Taylor Swift. They said she just dropped an album.
Mm-hmm.
So I got in my car.
She was going to, yeah.
Yeah, I got in my car, Ursula, and I turned it on. I'm going through it, and I was, it was a nighttime drive. I was feeling it. I was feeling it, Ursula. I'm telling you, I'm talking about when she says, you know, it was the Tormented Poets song. It was number 3. In the lyrics, she says, you're not Dylan Thomas. I'm not Patti Smith. This ain't the Chelsea Hotel. We're modern idiots. And so me, I'm like, well, who's Dylan Thomas? Who's Patti Smith? Right? So I'm like, that's a thing? So you know me, I want to know. So I get to, that's the beautiful thing about Google. I look it up, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. This Dylan Thomas dude was a famous poet. Patti Smith. Then you go to find out that Taylor Swift's ex was connected to a poet society type deal. Like, yeah. That's what he did. So then it took me to be like, oh, this is what that's about. And then come to find out at 11 o'clock, she dropped another one again. And I said, what is going on?
So how many, a total, how many songs did she?
So she did, I think it was like 16, 17 on the first one. I think it's a total of like 39.
Okay, just think of what she's been doing in the past year or so.
Right.
So since the last album, she's been doing this worldwide tour, changing economies in basically most cities that she's visiting. She puts out a movie. She somehow finds a time to date a football player and go to games and puts out a double album.
Right. So,
which is actually getting very good reviews. So the Tortured Poets Department, this is from Rolling Stone, combines the intimacy of Folklore and Evermore, previous albums, with the synth-pop gloss of Midnights to create music that is wildly ambitious and gloriously chaotic.
On this show, Ursula, you know how sometimes we talk about it. You've known this longer than me because you've been doing this job. The one thing that we can't do, we can never fool our listeners. Our listeners know our show, know what we talk about. It doesn't matter if it's our show, anybody. You can't fool listeners. So I've learned that in this profession. So now let's take it to music. One thing about music, when people are listening and feeling a vibe, they're going to feel it. The reason why this Taylor Swift is so good, because it's real. She is really putting her heart and soul and being like, hey, I got feelings too. I might be on top. I might have a lot of money, a lot of status. No matter what, you still can't take away sometimes being a little petty. And sometimes you got to let folks know that, yeah, them little kids that's coming in singing that song that you might hear, understand, you're going to hear them talking about what we used to be. Thank you. Come on now, Ursula.
Well, you said you were going to say something that was going to get a lot of people upset. You were going to make a declaration of some sort about Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift is going to go down because of all the social media, the world all happening all at once, lightning being captured in the bottle. She's going to go down as the greatest of all time.
Greatest entertainer of all time? Mm-hmm. Greatest pop star?
Greatest, just the most famous, the greatest. Like, I'm talking about, like, what Beatles was, what Michael Jackson was. I think she's going to be bigger than that for a while. Because
okay, all Michael of social Shoot, media, Casino Resort text line.
TikTok,
do you agree?
All of that stuff all hitting at one time. It's kind of like...
She totally knows how to work it, though. So on X, she posted, it's a 2 a.m. surprise. Like you said, she'd said she was going to release an album. She didn't say it was going to be a double album. She said, the Tortured Poets Department is a secret double album. I had written so much tortured poetry in the past 2 years and wanted to share it all with you. So here's the second installment of TTPD, the anthology, 15 extra songs. Who does 30 plus songs?
Ursula, before Bezos did his whole trying to sell books online and items, people before him did that. Like Chef said, I'm taking your thunder here, Chef. Mark Zuckerberg There was a point in time you had Jack from MySpace. You had other people trying to do what Jack, what Mark Zuckerberg is doing today. People have come after Mark Zuckerberg. Yeah.
Now, everything has to align.
It has to align. Caitlin Clark. Basketball. Were there greats before Caitlin Clark? Absolutely. But sometimes when it all hits at one time, that's Taylor Swift. I'm telling y'all. It's real.
Yeah. Text us 888-973-5476, 888-973-KYRA. Do you agree with G's assessment? Or are you still holding out and still bah humbug about Taylor Swift?
Let's not count the people who don't admit they like Taylor Swift. Because I talked to an ex-football player about it this morning. And he's like, I can't let everybody know I like Taylor Swift. All right, Ursula. What's next at 10? Well, we're going to have a guest to come in to explain how the Supreme Court will hear a case on Monday that could change how our region handles the homelessness crisis. We do that next, Jen Ursula.